Welcome to Unjust, a detective story. This season contains dark themes and descriptions of violence, as well as some language that may be inappropriate for a younger audience. Enjoy.
My head feels like it's made of cold soup. It's attached, at least. In the corner of this hospital room on a folding chair sits my laptop. When you are ready, is scrawled on a note attached to the lid. Thanks. Could have at least left a card. Maybe I wasn't injured enough to warrant the effort. It's a private room, though. Four whole walls to myself, no curtains. Must not be in the ER or ICU. Through the drugs, I can feel my head asking for attention, like it's yelling at me from down a long hallway. Ugh. If it wasn't for the pain, though, I wouldn't be sure I was actually awake. I know I dreamed I was dead. I saw myself on the gurney, not breathing, not moving. What was before that? Oh, the aching cranial screams dulled by the IV full of drugs is really fucking with my ability to think here. Where is that call button? I'm gonna die of thirst. 13 missed calls, 56 texts. Urgent email about the bomb in a coffee shop, consider me notified. One fatality in the coffee shop, unidentified, probably one of the electricians that was working there, and another urgent message. Another device went off, and three people dead this time. Damn it. How is this guy in so many places? Sandwiched between horror and horror, good news. The little girl from the daycare has made it out of critical condition. Oh, that's all it says. It doesn't say she'll make a full recovery, which means she won't. Will she be okay? I send back. We'll see. IT returned my email. They were able to unlock the first victim's laptop and are sending it by courier. Another text. They're saying permanent brain damage, likely never to walk again. A wave of guilt, as though asking caused the brain damage. And then the guilt becomes anger, pointed at this son of a bitch. An aching born in grit teeth tremors through my backbone. Flipping all kinds of nerves and dumps into my numb stomach. I need, undeniably and wholly, I need every resource to stop this abomination. On a map overlaid with data points, analysis shows the perpetrator most likely lives within a 5-mile radius of the effective center of town. And it's absolutely worthless information. Maybe 70% of the city lives in that damn circle. And they didn't add the victim's houses to the map, so I guess that's the place to start. My laptop starts humming and breathing to life while I check my voicemail. Oh, shit. Shit, 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 shit. It was waiting for me all this while. A co-worker of the first victim called to say they remembered something. The co-worker got a box of paper out of the closet earlier that Friday morning. The time frame from delivery to detonation just close to less than an hour. That kind of timeline, it puts the targeted attack right back on the table. My victim, he's the key to this somehow, but how? I was in his apartment. What did I miss? There wasn't anything worth a second look in his place, but if he was a target, he had to have had enemies that wanted him dead. I email Sarge. Get everyone that was working on the same floor as our first victim in. It has to be someone that he worked with. Someone that was there that morning. He absolutely could have been an intentional target, not just a random victim. Check on any of the deliveries that arrived that morning. Our mad bomber screwed up. We have a real break here. I rip the EKG pads free and suck my teeth when I wriggled the IV needle out of my vein. My clothes are in a pile in a closet, blood and soot buried in the stitches and weaves. Doesn't matter. This guy won't be caught in a fucking hospital room. The driver didn't appreciate being yelled at, but he redlined it to the station, and it's chaos here. Sarge has corralled most of the first victim's co-workers into our office. They are unruly. A mixture of fear and annoyance murmurs through their ranks, as do a few of their lawyers. It's already so loud, the pounding in my skull amps up in the cacophony. In my office, a comparable piece. Lights off, door shut. I can try and regain some focus. Whoever is behind this might be right on the other side of that door. Maybe one of the ones that brought a lawyer, arguing about rights and dragnets and the presumption of innocence. Somebody out there knows if there are any more devices waiting to kill and maim people. Somebody just 20 feet from where I'm sitting killed 6 people and made it so a little girl will never walk again. They and their lawyer probably already have an insanity defense already planned out. The first victim's computer is on my desk. User and password written on a post-it, just like IT promised. Browsing through, it's pretty normal stuff so far. No obviously named files or interesting browser searches to give the lead any credence. And then I find a locked file folder. Who has locked file folders? Whatever is happening, it's right here, behind one more password.
Unjust was written by J.M. Montavon. This episode features Scott Krim. Produced and directed by me, Alex Montavon. Script edited by Joseph Eislin. Sound edited by Hazen Tobar. Don't forget to leave us a review and visit our website at unjustdetectivestory.com. Thank you for listening. Unjust will return.